We continue our learning of the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shemichan Yaakov ben Menachem Zaliyah. We're in Adios, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis. From here to the end of the Perek, we're going to learn four halachos where Beis Hillel retracted their opinion and agreed with Beis Shammai. The Rambam has a very nice introduction to the Mishnah where he says the following: Vahatam sheitzrichu lichtov das ish echad v'achar kach chozer. Why do we have to write Beis Hillel's opinion at all if in fact they retracted? So he says, to just show us how much the Chachamim love truth and righteousness, to come to the truth of whatever the matter is. These great people, so respected, so honored, so pious, so wise, when they saw that those who argued with them, in fact, their reasoning made more sense, they were willing to retract. So, for other people, regular people, they realize that the truth and truth is inclined towards those who argue with them. You come okay, no timla ms, valik shuor, they should not be stubborn, and they should admit to the truth. And that's what it says in the pasuk. He says, tzedek tzedek tirdof, vaze amru chachamim, have a moda hala ms, return on the resume, want him to be moda hala ms. Even though people have a very a person can make a claim and argue against the dissenting opinion, when it's very revealed, very clear that your friend has the truth, so then a person should recognize that the truth is with the opinion of their friend. And this way you retract your opinion, and this way we can abandon any dissenting opinion and any fights at all in halacha. So it says the Mishnah like this: Elu dvarim shechazru veisila laharos kedvei Beis Shammai. So these, we begin with the Mishnah Yud Beis. Our example is Beis Hillel had an opinion, and then they retracted their opinion and ruled like the opinion of Beis Shammai. So case number one is the following. Ha'isha sheba'a mimidenas hayam v'amameis ba'ali. He have a case, and this is discussed in Yevamos in the 15th parak as well. A woman comes from overseas and says, by the way, my husband passed away. And it comes to the Beis Din. Halacha is tinasi. We permit her to marry based on her testimony. We believe her. And the same thing is true. Meis ba'ali tisya abim. Let's say she says, my husband died. We didn't have children together. Tisya abim, we allow her to have yibum with her brother-in-law, her husband's brother. And you'll say, hold on. She has the chazaka. She's an eshes ish. Last thing we knew about her, she's a married woman. And there are no edim that are testifying that her husband died. Nonetheless, because of takana sagunos, a special takana, so women don't remain in aguna unmarried, the chachamim were leaning to believe her. Because we have another chazaka. Although she has the chazaka of being an eshes ish, there's also a chazaka that a woman will not be willing to remarry unless she clarifies that her husband really died. She's afraid. Let's say her husband comes. If she doesn't really know for certain that her husband passed away, he may show up one day after she remarries. She's going to ruin herself completely. She'll be prohibited to this man and her original husband. She'll lose her ksuva. Her kids from the new husband will be mamzerim. So we can believe her that she's telling the truth. We don't have a tradition that a woman who says Meis Ba'ali, we permit her to marry, except one specific situation. This is where there were 10 people who went to harvest wheat. And what happened was that one person was bitten by a snake and he died. And his wife came and forbade him that this was my husband who died. And they found, in fact, they investigated and realized she was correct. At that time, they said, Ha'isha sha'amra meis ba'ali tinasei, and meis ba'ali tisyabem. This is discussed in Yevamos and Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. But the Chachamim only allowed such a thing where we believe the woman to say that her husband died and she can remarry, her husband died and she can have yibum. That's only where what happened was samach le'ir, very close to the city, and we're not afraid a woman is going to lie. Because it happened close to the city, maybe someone else really knows the truth and may come and testify otherwise. But if, let's say, a woman is like our case, coming from Medina Sam overseas, says Beis Hillel, we would never believe her. We have to follow the particular Takana Gezerah where it took place. Where did they permit such a thing? It came from the Haris, which was very close to the city. We wouldn't allow it if she's coming from overseas. Makes no difference. She's coming from the harvest, from the wheat harvest, from the olive harvest, or she's coming from overseas. Doesn't make a difference. Close to the city, far away from the city, we believe her. Lo dibru bekatsir ela behoveh. When the Chachamim said that we made this takana that we believe a woman to testify that her husband died and she can remarry based on that testimony or based on her word. That fact that took place during the harvest of the wheat, which is close to the city, that was behoveh. That was the Maisa Shehaya. That's what happened. But it doesn't mean that we don't apply to other cases. The Gemara has a Brice in Yevamos Kuftes Zion, where Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel the following: if you're going to be specific that this only applies to the specific situation where the Maisa Shehaya, well, maybe we should only allow women to remarry if she's bringing testimony that her husband died from the harvest of wheat. Maybe it's a harvest of barley. Maybe that wouldn't apply. How do you know that it applies to other types of harvests? Let's say it's grapes or olives or dates or figs, etc. How do you know we would apply it to that as well? So the answer is, the Maisa Shehaya was by a harvest, and the same thing is true for all of these situations. And the same thing, Afkan Maisa Shehaya Ba'osa Medina, Vadin Lekulam, happened to be next to the city, but it would apply even if a woman comes overseas. After that argument of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel retracted their position and agreed and ruled like Beis Shammai that a woman who comes even from overseas is believed to say that her husband died and she can remarry. Beis Shammai omrim on the same topic, the same way we allow her to remarry, she also is able to receive her ksuba money. Beis Hillel omrim, after her husband dies, so a woman's supposed to get a ksuba. So Beis Shammai says, well, if she gets to remarry her husband, we believe her husband died, she gets to pay the ksuva money as well. Now, she can remarry. That's true based on her testimony. But regarding the financial matters, no, she needs edim to prove her husband died. Omele Beis Shammai. Hitartem esa erva hachamura lo tatiras hamaman akala. Understand, if we're already allowing the isra veheter erva, this is a married woman, and based on her word, we're letting her remarry and assume the husband died. We can, that's more strict. So if we're allowing her to do that, is not a kavachomer that we should allow her to receive the ksuva based on her testimony and assuming the husband died. If we're letting her remarry, certainly she'd be able to pay the ksuva. So amula hembe silo matsinu shena achim nichnasim lanachal alpiha. So Beis Hillel proves that the financial matter is a separate matter at all, and we don't rely on our testimony. For example, do we believe her regarding the Yerusha? Do we say that the brothers now are able to be Yoresh the Nechasim of her husband based on her ages that the husband died? No, we don't assume that it's Yerusha. When it's, the husband died, I guess his family members are going to be able to inherit because we assume that he died. We don't assume that. When it comes to Mammon, you need two Edim. Tarsus says, Api Shnei Edim Yokum Davar. The matter can only be established with two Edim. And therefore, she can remarry, but Ksuva, she doesn't accept. Amalei Beis Shammai, Vahalo. We can learn from the book, literally, from the ksuva itself, the shtar ksuva, it's very clear that she, if she's able to remarry, she's able to collect the ksuva as well. Why? What does the husband write in the ksuva? This is the language of the ksuva. It says in the ksuva, part of the nusach of the ksuva is, if you remarry someone else, you will be able to collect that which is written in the ksuva, whatever the monetary value is of the ksuva. So if it's true that we allow her to remarry, the language of the ksuva says that. They go hand in hand. So if she's able to remarry, then she could automatically collect the ksuva. After that argument, they agreed with the ruling of Beis Shammai that not only can she remarry, but she can collect the ksuva as well, based on her testimony from Medina Sayam that the husband died. Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Gimel. Another example where Beis Hillel retracts their opinion Based on the argument of Beis Shammai, b'misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, here you have someone who is half slave, half eved Kanani, and half ben chorin. How do you have that? So you have, let's say, someone eved Kanani who was owned by two partners, and one of them gave him a get shechur, gave him a bill of emancipation, and now he's free. He's a free person, and an eved Kanani, after he is freed, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. He's a ben chorin, but half of him is still an eved Kanani because the other partner did not free him. So now, what does he do in this state? So, okay, so he's off on Shabbos. And Eved Kanani is chayv in mitzvos like a woman. He shouldn't be working on Shabbos. And the Jewish owner shouldn't be having him work on Shabbos. So he was working for one for 3 days and the other for 3 days. So now, he's free for 3 days. He can work for himself. That the free part of him, the half of him that's free. And the other part that's still an Eved Kanani is working for the other partner for those 3 days. So that's what the Mishnah says. Misha chetzio eved chetzio ben chorin, oved es rabo yom echad. The one who's still his master, who did not emancipate him, he will work for him for 1 day a week. 1 day, this says hazma yom echad. Right? So, and 1 day for himself. So Sunday, he works for his master, and Monday he works for himself. Tuesday he works for the master, and Wednesday he works for himself, etc. Divrei Beis Hillel, that's what Beis Hillel says. Omer le Beis Shammai, tikantem es rabo. So Beis Shammai says, you took care of the master. You have a, so you now gave him a solution that the master now, okay, the master is able to now have him, this Eved, work for him for 3 days a week. That's fine. But this doesn't solve a bigger problem that the Eved has. What problem does he have? It's marriage problem. Lisa Shifcha Eino Yachol, to marry a Shifcha Kananis, a slave woman, who he cannot, a non-Jewish slave. And why? Because half of him is Ben Chorin. He's already half Jewish, so he can't live with a non-Jewish woman, with a slave woman. Bas Chorin Eino Yachol, to marry a Jewish woman, he can't do that either, because he's half Eved. So Livatel, let him now not have, not marry anyone at all, and not fulfill the mitzvah of Pur Ravu. The whole world was created for the purpose of Pur Ravu, to multiply and to propagate the world. Shenamar, and we quote a pasuk from Yeshayo, Perek Memhei, pasuk Yud Ches, Lo Sohu Biraa. The world was not made for tohu for purposes. Hashem didn't create the world so it remains desolate, but lashevesh yitzara, it was made so that we settled, we inhabit the world. That's why Hashem created the world. So elam neitikon olam. So in order for the welfare of society of the world, so that this Eved is able to marry, kofin es rabo va'oso so ben chorim, we force the master, who's still having him work for him, to set him free. So now he's a full Ben Chorin, he's a full Jew. The Kosev Shtar al Chatzi Damav. But nonetheless, he has to write a star, literally, for half of his value. That means he has to compensate the master for this loss. This loss is, we're forcing this upon him, that he has to let the Eved go free. He doesn't want to let the Eved go free. So what does the slave do? He writes a note, a document, a shtar, for half his value, and eventually he's going to have to pay that value when he has enough money to pay back this master. But at least at this point, he's able to marry a Jewish woman. And when Beis Hillel heard this argument of Beis Shammai that he may have taken care of the master, and now this Eved can work 3 days a week, but he can't marry anyone. So then Chazru Beis Hillel, Loroske Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel retracted their position and ruled like Beis Shammai. One of the interesting questions on this Mishnah is that one would have expected if we say Lo Nivra Halok Lo Nivra Hola Melo Pirvi Rivra, so we would quote a pasuk from Parshas Bereishis, Puru Ravu, the Torah says Puru Ravu, and yet we don't quote a pasuk like that. We quote the pasuk from Yeshayo, Perek Mem Hey Lo Sobera La Shevesh Yitzara. Why do we quote this pasuk and that pasuk in Chumash? If the whole idea is to tell you that the whole purpose of the world is to propagate the world, for Pur Ravu, so we should quote a pasuk from there. So many explanations. One, just to share one, is that Pur Ravu is only a mitzvah on the man. A woman does not have the mitzvah of Pur Ravu. So if we quoted that pasuk, we'd say, well, this is an Eved. Half of him is an Eved. The Eved, Kanani, is chayv in mitzvos, like a woman. So the half Eved that he has right now, that would not give him a chiyuv anyway of Pur Ravu. So it's not like he has an obligation to have children, because half of him is a slave and half of him is a slave, there's no mitzvah peruvu. So if you tell, the argument is he should free him completely so he can get married and fulfill peruvu. He, at this point, he doesn't have that mitzvah. So, and if he doesn't get married, so okay. It's, and he doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, it's not a big deal. So that's why we don't quote that pasuk. We quote the pasuk, lo sol b'ra la shevet yisara, the mitzvah of sheves. Sheves is inhabiting the world. That's a mitzvah upon everybody. It's an, not mitzvah from the Torah, but it's a mitzvah medivir kabbalah from Yeshayahu, from Nevi'im. And therefore, we quote that pasuk, and that certainly is an argument why we should free the slave and allow him to marry a Jewish woman.